one of the hardest, like the hardest thing to go from where you're at to where you want to get to in almost every situation is people. It's people. Like, you got to learn to grow people, learn to work with people, learn to work with people that aren't like you. Like, it's people.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder. Pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the millennial dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Wow. What a summer it's been. Oh my gosh. You know, it's so funny. Let me preface this by, we're about to go on a string of podcast episodes, and I'm excited to be recording today. Right, this podcast has gone through so many iterations. Like, if you followed along since 2017, you know, when I created the podcast, kudos to you. It is definitely different than it was today. I'm different than what I was, gosh, then for sure. Life's different, new challenges, new wins, all sorts of things. What I've always been, you know, and will continue to be, is probably, frankly, just too transparent, open, and authentic. Because, one, this podcast is a little bit of like a, you know, it's kind of a space to get things out of your head in a very public manner. But my hope is that like it's always been, is that by sharing what I share, hopefully it encourages you, helps you be better, helps you find a way through navigating dentistry life and the pursuit of happiness. So anyways, what I want to do is I'm going to kind of go on a series of, like, I'm going to be honest, kind of like hard podcast episodes that are kind of, I don't want to say depressing, but they're going to just be very real life of like the non-Instagram, social media facade that success looks like. And then I want to get to the point where we kind of go through some of that. And then I want to end on an episode that's like, this is what success is, like what I'm getting to do and whatnot. And so like, and like, you could do it in both orders. I could just tell you how great it is. But I think that on some level that does it an injustice. And so I don't want to, they need each other, because to go through the trials and tribulations and frustrations that being a dentist, being a practice owner, a small business owner is, it's got to be worth it. And on the other hand, it is worth it, but to get to the worth it, you got to be willing to go through what I want to talk about. And so that's a super interesting dichotomy, because it's on one hand, I don't want to be like it's, I just think it's, you see a lot of fake news that is, sign up here, join this, you'll be living on an island in no time. And like, that is not how it works. Like, it's hard work, it's a grind, it's not easy. Gosh, it's worth it. And so I've had it's always been an up and down process. But I think I'm finding more and more a level of happiness, a level of consistency, even when it's chaotic and there's turmoil, that used to kind of adjust me and do things differently. So that's like coming in out of the gate with like a lot of emotion and banger from being gone for a couple months of episodes. So I'm sorry, I'm back for a little bit. Who knows? I'll be back and I'll be gone. I'll be back again. This is how it's going to work. I've come to that resolution. Before we get started, look, we got some awesome stuff going at 3D Dentist. It's so special, so unique, and so cool right now, just some of the things we're doing. If you're not on our app, please join our app. There's a lot of good resources on the app, a lot of good people. You know, it's a community of what T-Bone says, and I love this. It's a community of peer confidence, not peer pressure. You know, you get real-life stories from real-life people who have real-life solutions. It's no bullshit. So join our community, and then, yeah, if you need any clinical training, in implants, implant dentistry, we'd love to have you there. And then if you've been lurking on like our mastermind program, check it out. Also, I will tease this. I'll probably talk about it more in future episodes. We have a new associate accelerator program we're coming out with in 2027. So that's going to be something that we've wanted to do for a while. I know a lot of you don't own practices out there and listen, and we've got a new really exciting program for you all. So the title of this episode is more or less, okay, leading through turnover without losing momentum. So one of the things that we've experienced a lot in 2026 is turnover. And I was telling somebody else on a coaching call the other day that like one of the hardest, like the hardest thing to go from where you're at to where you want to get to in almost every situation is people. It's people. Like you got to learn to grow people, learn to work with people, learn to work with people that aren't like you. Like it's people. And because of that, when you have to change people, it's hard because training is hard. It's exhausting. It's inconvenient. You're investing in people. You get jaded because people leave that you don't, you know, want them to lead and stuff like that. Leave. And so, yeah, that's kind of the idea is, well, how do you like keep that positivity, keep going, even when you are going to have turnover. So the first thing is to me is you got to start to build or have your rocks. Your rocks are really important. And for some of you, your rock could be like one person, like just one person. But I got to have somebody that I know that like when push comes to shove, I can kind of link arms with and they're going to be here. If all else fails, if it all burns down, I got a couple people that'll be like, we'll go start it over and rebuild it with you. And that to me is really important because like that's who you go to when you have to either make hard decisions and like firing people. Like, can we band together and get through this period of not so fun time? And this is also the importance of like when you recognize someone's not the right person or when someone leaves and it's not what you wanted to happen and it's inconvenient and now you got to kind of band together and right the ship. You know, I've always been, I don't know where I kind of learned it from, but I've always tried to be, I wouldn't say a glass half full guy, but just a, it is what it is guy. We were sitting in the lake camp, a summer camp last week, and I was saying this to somebody. I said, it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. And they're like, I like that. I was like, that's kind of the point, though. I mean, like, when stuff happens, it is what it is, and it ain't what it ain't. And so I've kind of always had to have a roll it off your back, kind of like water off the duck's back mentality. And when it comes to team member change, people leaving and that sort of thing, just because I've recognized that this idea of lifers is impossible. Now that's kind of an interesting segue because, you know, the one of the challenges you have as success and growth is that you're going to have people change. If you're growing, you're typically adding people change. You know, the more people you're adding, the more people you're not going to get right. You're growing at a rate that doesn't have enough time for people to season and set in. The more you grow, the less time people get with you. So now it's layered leadership, which means layered communication, which means a watered down version of what you intended the vision to be. So like, it's like, if someone tells me, well, I just want consistency, I just want the same people, then unfortunately what I got to tell you is you got to be willing to stop growing. Because that is what comes with the territory. Show me someone that's growing, that's not seeing turnover, that's not seeing change, that's not seeing addition of new people. It doesn't exist. So I think that was always like, and my dad used to, I've talked about this before, he used to always brag that like he had a long tenured team, right? 10 years, 30 years, 25 years, 12 years. Like I think his shortest tenured team member when I got into the office in 2015 was like 12 years. 12 years. I haven't even been out practicing that long. And it's no slight to him, but there wasn't a lot of growth, right? There was, I'm sure, growth to a certain point, but then year over year, they were more or less hitting the same number around the sun. You know, and so when you get to that point, there is a point where I like that. I like stability and I'd like to have consistency and I'm not trying to grow necessarily. And so you may reduce some level of the turnover, but that's going to be an always natural hurdle and battle that you have to deal with. And again, it's hard because I do like the idea of like having people that have been around that I get to be around and I get to know and et cetera. That's your rocks though. That's why I think it's important to have those people. And we do something that I encourage you to do, is we do a legacy dinner every year. And for us, it's a pretty clear delineation. We have a dinner every year that celebrates the group of people that's still here that used to work in our old building, which is crazy. That's 5 years ago now. Feels like yesterday. And so in that group, you know, it's gotten a little smaller over the past 5 years. It's not really, but it's more or less our core people. It's our rocks. And it's a group of people that I can sit around. I can be myself. I can be open. We have good constructive conflict and trust with each other. And so we do this dinner to kind of celebrate, talk about what we're doing, where we're going, and you know what we need culturally or as a practice from them to kind of continue to maintain what we're trying to do. So this all started for us at the beginning of the year with I had to make a decision to fire a doctor. And that's not fun because a doctor is a clinical leader. They're usually a social leader. Like they're involved in the practice, right? It's not like just it's not like a team member that only runs their own op. They interact with almost every team member. And this doctor is a super great person, loved by the team, good for the team culture, but there were just some clinical issues, some communication issues that made it to the point that we said, if we keep going with where we're going, after trying to make the changes that we've tried to make, we're not going to get to that spot with that person in that seat. And that's a hard thing to kind of like then say. And so you got to either deal with the ramifications of keeping them or make the hard decision to move on. And so that was kind of what we decided to do. And so then you have the change of a doctor, you bring in a new doctor, and then that starts that whole process over. So it started for us this year with an elective change. We were going to make a doctor change. I would say that generally speaking, you know, there was a week of kind of, I think, you know, obviously people are upset, as they should be. That's a bummer to lose someone you like working with. You know, but pretty quickly, I think there was some people recognized that the change was necessary, and then you move on. And then like what I typically see and most people experience is that given some period of time, who you hire is usually better or gets you to a better position or better place or better fit for whatever reason. So we hired a new doctor, and then that starts that process. Now, I'm going to kind of tell you there's different themes that will come out in this. One is that like you can only do so much at one time. And this is what kind of got me, because in a perfect world at this point, I would start investing in this doctor, training this doctor, doing things that I would like to do to make sure that they get off on the right foot. But the problem we often run into as an owner is like there's other fires or other fires arise. And so then what you want to do with good intention, you don't get to because you're putting out other fires. It's frustrating. So we hire Dr. Keeley, and I don't get as much as I want to have time with her because about that time we started having more front office issues. And there was just some drama. I don't like drama. We weren't making the progress we needed to make in certain areas as far as patient follow-up, just the overall experience that I wanted our front office to have. And so within a couple weeks of hiring Dr. Keeley, we decided to let, or one of our front office people decided to leave us. It kind of came to a head where I think she recognized either she's going to leave us, we're going to fire, one of the other kind of situations, and she decided to leave. And whenever someone leaves you, it's whether you want them to leave or not leave, like it's still an ego hit. That's the reality, right? And so this person leaves, and it frustrates me because it's like, I know we did everything we could to set them up for success, but for whatever reason, they weren't ready to kind of take that job or the opportunity to the next step, to the next place, etc. And that's fine. We're not for everybody. I'm an acquired taste. Lord knows that. And but it is disappointing when you've invested someone for a long time, you see more potential than they see in themselves, and so it doesn't work out. And then that kind of leaves you in it. And so for us, an already not super over the top front office as far as the amount of people and then kind of just the makeup of the people. I'm like, oh gosh. So now we were left with, at the time, I think, one person up front that had been there for a year that was friends with the one that left us. So then immediately you start going, well, she's gone too, right? Because they're best buds. They live together. And then I've got like a treatment coordinator a couple days a week. And then I've got Aubrey and Jess, two of my rocks. I think that was like literally what we had at the time. And you're trying not to just like completely panic. I mean, that's, I mean, you're like, well, we'll do a lot of dentistry if we can actually answer the phone and people show up. So we start getting ads out. And thankfully, one of the things I've been better about is trying to like have some level of foresight and look forward and get out of kind of the current 90 days and looking forward. And so we had already had an ad out looking for like a general practice office manager. I've known for a minute that, like, you know, with Aubrey and, you know, trying to balance family, work, and, you know, what I need her to do from a vision standpoint, helping the overall practice, that day-to-day operations and fires is something that is going to bog down our ability to leverage her the best of our abilities and give her, you know, kind of the opportunity and growth that she wants. And so about that time, we found someone, Taylor, and yeah, you're like, you take the call. At this point, I'm doing interviews again, which, by the way, I hadn't done an interview in a while. I kind of let Aubrey do all that. And I'm like, I think this is the right person. I'm calling Aubrey being like, I got a person. Like, this is, I think we should jump with this. And the thing I think I did different this time is we literally said we're hiring for an office manager. So, like, we were very clear about, like, hey, we want to hire this role. It's with intention. Our team knew we were trying to hire this role. And so I think it, one, brought a different caliber of people looking for that type of role. And then it just had our mindset different in that, like, we're going to bring you in with a different level of intention. And so she came in, and you hate bringing in somebody into that environment because it's, like, not the best. Like, you're kind of like, we're just trying to get back above water. And it's good. And you're, like, you're almost selling a pipe dream. Like, it's going to be great, I promise. We're going to get the people. We're going to get through this. And I know we will, and we always do, you know, but that's kind of the behind the scenes like thing that you're feeling is like, is this a pipe dream that's going to happen? And so Taylor gets in here. And so now I've got Taylor. I got the friend of the one that left us. And so we still need to hire somebody else. And so we get an ad out and then we find another person. And at this point, what's interesting is we end up getting, and it's just so funny how wild things are. We end up getting two resumes, one through an ad and then one was through a message of an Instagram of someone I've known through work, kind of the dental community and friendships. And I'm like, well, this is a good person and this is a good person. Should we hire both? And then I'm like, well, I only need one spot. But then I've also got, now I got this awkward decision of like, okay, what do I do about this other person? Do I let them go? Do I keep them? Are they really committed? Do we give them a chance? And like, and you're just waffling back and forth. And I've always found that I just feel like sometimes I need to like move past an era that like, and we see this in different areas of sports is where we see it a lot. In sports, what we see is if a new head coach comes in, what they typically do is they fire the old head coach and if a new head coach comes in, they usually fire the rest of the team staff, right? And they bring in their own staff. Like very rarely do you see people stick around from an old regime with a new regime. They want their people. They don't want bad juju. They don't want like, well, back then, you know, like all these type of things. And so there's always a little bit of that in me that's like, okay, is there too much connection from this, whatever? And so we again decided that like based off that, some other things that probably were more important to just like them being, not the right fit. We decided, okay, we're going to make a change. So we literally overhaul our front office, have three brand new people up there in the matter of 5 months. And I just hired a new doctor. And I think somewhere in there, we had to hire a new hygienist. And yeah, you're just like, yeah, this is the part that I'm like, do people really want? They're like, man, I want that. I'm like, do you really want this? That's why I'm saying, like, I'm going to give an episode at the end that says it's worth it, but you got to get there. So this, now we're kind of like at May. And also during this process, our other doctor, which we knew she was going to be leaving, Dr. Sarah, sweet Sarah, because she met a guy, you know, she would have been an STP lifer, I think, you know, moves to Arkansas. And so now I got to get another doctor. And so you just kind of feel like you can't catch a break sometimes because you've got these new employees, new doctors. And remember, Keely's getting the back burner because she's like doing pretty good, but she's not getting the attention I want her to have. And so that's not great. So these other problems are kind of slowly arising that you're not getting to because you're all focused on this. Meanwhile, you're trying to have a family. I got married in April, right? So like I've got that going on. That's not a distraction, right? Doing 3D dentist stuff. So it's hard. It's hard. Good news. Right decisions. Taylor has been amazing. I think that intention of bringing her up into like, hey, we need that next layer of leadership below Aubrey has been great. She's doing an amazing job. So glad she's here. Our two new people at Fran, Danielle and Allison, are doing an amazing job. It's like a breath of fresh air, what we needed. End of an era that I'm grateful for, that helped us achieve a lot of things, an era that the people I liked. But it's the end of an era. That's okay. I've learned, I try not to take things so personal. That's the hard part. Because you care. You genuinely care. And you want people to grow. You want people to learn. And it's hard. Change is inevitable. But instability doesn't have to be. You know, I think through these times, what we did was we band together with the rocks. We said we're going to get through it. And we focused on doing what we do. We focused on going back to the fundamentals. You know, I find that what's most important for me in the situations is to a little bit fake it till you make it. Because when you're in the leader role, you can't let everybody see you sweat. You got to kind of like be able to like, that's why therapy's been so helpful for me. Because like I have an outlet to express all the negativity so that like I can, all right. It's like hitting the board before they go into a football game. Game face. I got to be the chief morale officer now. I got to go in and like bring up encouragement, do things differently. Can't let people see me sweat. And the hard part is you're sweating. You genuinely are, you know, and it's great to have those people that are there because, you know, that we'll do what it takes. We'll get there, et cetera. I think the other thing that I do is I hold the line. I never allow us to go back to grinding as the solution. You know, whether it's patients now get pushed out a little bit. We can't get to certain things. You know, I got to slow down some technology implementation. Like I hold a line on the fundamentals. I hold the line on the scheduling. I hold the line on what we allow to come in. I hold the line on the communication, the financials. Like the fundamentals is so important that we hold the line on. So Sarah ends up leaving. We bring, you know, we're looking for the right hire. We get a call from another friend dentist, and we get a good opportunity to hire Dr. West, brand new dentist, right out of school, right? And that comes with challenges too, because like they're brand new. Some of you are brand new listening to this. Like you're not going to know how to do it. You're going to be slow. You're going to get confused on communication. You're going to second guess yourself, all these things. He's doing such a good job. The two root canals yesterday looked amazing. But it's a different mindset that I've got to go back into and recognizing the training and education that needs to be supportive from a mentor standpoint for them to be successful. And ultimately, their success is my success, right? We're a team here. And so as we got the front office kind of under control, then the attention looked back to the doctors, recognizing that, okay, Keely's been here for 6 to 8 months now. I need to give her more attention, more support. Wes needs the attention. And so you have to go through the pain. And I'm going to do another episode where I talk about that process because I've learned a lot through that this time around. But yeah, you gotta do it. So hopefully this is helpful in some form or fashion, if not to just know that like I'm struggling too in certain areas and that it's hard and that there's ups and downs. But like I said, I'm going to do a couple episodes to talk about just the challenges that the summer has been. And then I'm going to hit you with why it's all worth it. I hope you work smarter, not harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.